because they're worrying about heat, some of them, and they're feeling the pressure of it. Not there, just flow it up there, bring it up through the fan. Because when I see people fan, then it disturbs me for concern for people. You see, I have a concern for people. And I wish you to get that. The same concern that caused me to adopt 8 precious babies. It's joy, really, no effort. The same concern that caused me to be here day in and day out and receive the strangers, the castaways, so to speak. For pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is to minister to the orphans and widows in their affliction. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. You want to see Jesus? All right, then you can see him tonight. Is there anybody hungry? Feed him. If there's anybody naked, clothe them. If there's anybody that's a stranger, take them in, as we did the sister last night. Take them in. Don't ask them for money or price, because the Christ of God doesn't ask for money or price or reward. It doesn't go out with purse or scrip on its journey. Doesn't need any scripture. Doesn't need any purse. Doesn't need anything on that day's journey but the Holy Ghost within. He said, when he's come, take no thought for what you shall say, but he'll bring all things to remembrance in that hour. They may deliver you to the councils and to the tribunals, to the governors, to the magistrates, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. So it'll be the church that's going to persecute you, because they'll think God's doing, they're doing God a service. Don't you worry about it. If God's within you, they'll make a way where there is no way. It'll be like Paul that was preaching to the jailer, and all of a sudden the walls come tumbling down. We've seen too many things here. Let's not forget. I said, let's not forget where we have been and what we have seen. When we were thrown out of the churches and we had to be out in this field 2 years ago, over, just a little over, we were out in the winter all winter long, but not a drop of rain dropped on our bodies. The cars drove up. And as the cars drove up, you know you were there. You drove in from the factories, Masonite. The rain would be falling in torrents upon you. But when you came in where we were sitting, there wasn't a drop of rain that fell on our heads. We are out with the wind. But I tell you, if you'll believe in the actual conscious presence of God, it's the source of all supply. It can, and it will, and it does satisfy every good desire. So why don't you recognize where God is and quit this foolishness and look it up. Look within. The righteousness which is of faith saith not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven and bring him down? But who shall descend into the deep and bring him up? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What is the word? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word is made flesh. In a moment you shall see the word made flesh. And that's what I want you to do. If I've come for anything, it's to make you realize that you are sons and daughters of God. There's no higher heaven than within you. There's nothing outside of you that can solve your problem. It's when they took Jesus and was going to persecute him. He said, for what good work do you stone me? If you can't receive me for my name's sake, receive me for my work's sake. That's what I wonder about these churches. When the tavern keeper down here loves us because of the good we do for human beings, he warns us about one of the churches. One of the Trinitarian churches is going to bomb us. What's that now? What kind of thing is this? Who warned us? The tavern keeper. He said, I heard what those church people said. One of the old men of the sisters over there got drunk and come in here and says, I don't like what they're going to do to that church. Said they take in the animals and adopt the children. They clothe the needy. Said they're good people. So who called us? A preacher? No, your preacher's not going to call you. We're only trying to kill you. You don't need to worry about the church. It's always going to lose its first love. Just about 10, 20, 50 years, it'll lose its first love. It always does that. Institutions kill God. So I don't believe in an institution. Don't believe in robes. Don't believe in badges of authority and position. Don't believe in orders and stratums and denominations, because you kill God. It robs God from his rightful place. He said, well, what good work do you stone me? So what have I done that you stoned me? Anybody wondering about, in Sacramento, some of you come here tonight visiting us. Say, I wonder if you have God. You should know if by anything else, everybody in the world in Northern California wants to kill me. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, was called not only a devil child, but he was called the prince of devils, Beelzebub. He was called the prince of all devils. And all he could say to them, how are you so sick? Will a devil cast out a devil? Does a devil heal the sick? Will a devil cast out the demon oppressions of diseases? No, he said, if it did, it'd be a house divided against itself. For as James said, all good things comes down from the Father of lights, whom there's no variableness or shadow of turning. If it's good, it's God. That's the universal mind. I wish you'd get this. You worry, you've been worried by these preachers that are afraid they're going to lose a dollar. They want those dollars coming in to pay that Cadillac. They got to pay that bill. They're afraid of losing $1. So they tell you, don't go over there. Be careful. Be careful. Don't go there. Watch out. What they really want you to do is stay in prison. Stay in prison. And I just want you to get free. Because churchianity is a death. When you are free to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. That's my desire for you, to let you have what I have and more. I hope you can see a picture of what I've taken and reproduce a greater one in yourself. Because the world needs Jesus. And the only place they're going to find Jesus, child, is in you. You are living epistles. The only one they're going to read. So read me well. Don't jump the gun. Don't go out and think that you're going to get into this realm overnight. I've come through lynch mobs. I've been shot at and shot down before your eyes. And you saw me picked up. You put the fingers in the holes in my chest. And I brought this about the healing because I recognized none other in this tabernacle but Christ. I said, I cannot die. My people need to see the Christ in me to bring forth the Christ in them. I cannot die. My people are not ready. So I said, I am. That's the key. I said, I am not ready. And all that blood that was all over me, I got up, as you well saw, and that night healed a man by just sending the word. It was in an epileptic seizure. He's right over there in the choir someplace. I just reached out and said, arise. Preached all night. So take a good picture. Take a good picture. Watch me closely. Learn my mannerisms. Learn the patterns of devotion. My spiritual prayer life and my social administration justice sense of concept of dispensational principles that I embody. The principles that I demonstrate every day. Learn all these principles closely. Because I'm a living Acts of the Apostle. I'm one of those acts, maybe a small act, but I'm going to make an act that's going to help the work for Jesus. See, the Acts of the Apostles are still going on. He said all the things that Jesus had both begun to say and do, if they had been written in a book, the world would not be able to contain the book. So the Acts of the Apostles are being written here tonight, as it was last Wednesday when the woman was given up to die with cystic fibrosis. And you heard her testify Sunday, all gone, been in pain, had to take what was it, codeine every 3 hours, and it did not abate her pain. I said, come up, touch this back, because this back is yielded to God. I put my back against hers, told her things by revelation to quicken the Christ in her and stir up the faith that was within her. And when I left, the pain was in my back and she was free of it. She was shouting and dancing and praising God. I know how to get rid of it. She didn't have the moment of understanding it to get rid of it. And the doctors had given up here to die. So let us not forget so great a salvation. We have seen, we have heard, we have walked, we have supped, we have seen our God. So don't forget that promise that Christ is within you. It's only hope. How can you hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? We have the Bible written by King James, translated, the books of Barnabas taken out by his dispensation. And after all, King James was an alcoholic. He wasn't God. He was a king of England. Some of you think he was, hear old Pentecostals say at the time, bless God, the King James Version was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Paul never saw King James, honey. He never took a look at King James. King James wasn't around when Paul was around. He was a king of England who persecuted the American colonists, who persecuted the Indians, and sent the good ship Jesus to Africa to bring back the blacks in chains. Don't talk about him being God. He's not God. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, you cannot know even who Jesus is, the Scripture tells you. Because the words of the devil are in the Bible. tempters there. There are words that are translative errors there. If you go just to the letter, that's why Corinthians warned you, the letter will kill you. Meaning the letter to Romans, the letter to Corinth, the Bible, in other words. Let's translate it to English. The Bible kills, but the Spirit. God is love. What is the Spirit then? God is love. So the Bible kills, but love makes alive. That's the only thing that will make alive. The Bible will kill you if you don't have God within and don't have the fivefold ministry. He didn't say Bibles would bring you to perfection, but apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. They are necessary for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. We have to have those manifold gifts and the manifold fruits of the Spirit. How can we hear without a preacher? How can he preach lest he be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, not reading, by the Word of God. Because even if you look in the booklet, King James, according to Matthew, doesn't give the same ancestry of Jesus back to David as Luke does in the third chapter. It's confusion. One place Jesus' grandfather is Heli, and the other place it's Jacob. One place his great-grandfather is Mathan, and the other place is M-A-T-T-H-A-T. There's a misspelled letter, one letter. That's why we cannot live by the letter alone. It's beautiful. Oh, my God, when you got the Holy Ghost, it'll open up marvelous truths to you. But without the Holy Ghost, it'll build a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. You'll have a structure that's dead as Ezekiel's bone. Be as dead as his boneyard. I mean, there'll be a structure of death, not life. Ichabod will be written above the altar, the glory of God departed thereof. If you don't know that, I can give you 1,000 cases of error translations. You don't know a thing about Jesus except the Holy Ghost reveal it to you. One writer says that he went with his parents immediately to Egypt. Another one says he kept the feast of the Passover every year in Jerusalem. Never even left Egypt. Didn't even mention King Herod. One place he ascended from Bethany. Another place mentions another place. You have 4 different accounts of where Jesus ascended. This which called out people and told them their thoughts. And heal the cancers that I've already healed today, and the crippling of that woman's arm, and tell them their loved ones far away. Tell them the inner thoughts of their lives. No man can do this. No man knows the thoughts of the mind. Only the Word. What is the Word? The Word is God. The Word's not the dead letter of King James. Get this book, and you study it closely, and you'll be a changed person, and you'll come into life. You will not know death, but come into life if you study it and read it and digest it. But some of you won't even bother to give it when we say all you have to do is talk to a secretary and money won't stand in your way. The letter kills, but the Spirit giveth life. The Bible, in other words, letter to Romans, letter to Corinthians, letter to Colossians, letters to Revelations. The letter, the Bible kills, but the Spirit. What is the Spirit? God's Spirit is love. The Bible kills, but love makes alive. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Why, you can't know anything in the Bible without God sending his fivefold ministry. He said you're perfected by apostles, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Now, I got an apostle. You don't know you got an apostle. You got a diaper changer. You haven't got an apostle. I know an apostle when I see one, and I haven't seen one in this continent. There's no apostle in the continent of America, but this apostle is sitting here now. I don't want you kidding. I don't want you hurt. I don't want your blood on my hands. I'm not going to mince any words with you. You're not sitting under an apostle unless you are here. Because I don't need any clapping. I just want them to be sure they digest it. The apostolic work, the mantle of God's 100-fold consciousness is here. This is the 100-fold realm. Now, if you want to be in 30%, you know what it is to be 30% alive? You know how it is to be 60% alive and 40% dead? He said there's 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. In here, we're 100% God, 100% alive, living in the actual conscious presence of the Almighty God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want to be 30% alive and 60% dead, that's your privilege. Because there's freedom, thank God, in the land. You want to be 60% dead? Stay dead. You want to be in churches that will rob you to build buildings? Take up offerings for Cadillacs? When you see an honest man standing before you in the same white robe, the same red shirt, the same one that I had on last night, was washed last night, same black pants,
were ironed last night because I've adopted 8 children. I suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of this righteousness of God of which I am. I've legally adopted 8, and I've reared dozens more. Educated them, healed them, brought them out of schizophrenia, brought them out of drug damage. They're now doing, some of them, straight A work. One of them studying to be a doctor that could not talk. So it's beautiful to behold the spirit and the consciousness of the presence of God. I'm a living epistle. A living epistle that's read and known of all men. Why any of you would even be antsy and watching your clock, wondering if you have time to get to the musical, to get to the song fest, to get to the pastor's anniversary service? Why any of you would, having tasted of this heavenly gift, would not forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are behold and before? And why not? Why would you not press forward to the mark and the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that's in your midst right here for you to behold, to eat? That's why the eagles are gathered together. That's why the carcass is here. I have poured out myself, and people gather to eat of my flesh because it's the flesh of God. They pull on my body when I go down the aisles. No man can be pulled on like they pull on me. They pull on me and take my flesh, wanting to get virtue from it. He said, where the eagles are, where the carcass is, where one has died to self, where the carcass is mortified, where the body is dead to sin, he that is born of God doth not commit sin. You see, my body is dead to sin and the trespasses of carnal law. I'm no longer living in the selfishness that Cain slew Abel. I'm no longer living in that capitalistic, aggrandizing spirit, but I'm living in the pure socialism and sharing of God Almighty. And as I do live in that spirit, I'm able to share with you. And I know people will pull on me until I can be pulled on to the end. They would pull on me, because he said, where the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. And if it makes you strong, then I am glad. If I might die, that you could live. If you can take cognizance of my teachings and my spirit an example, and reproduce a greater picture of me and a greater power than I am, I will be eternally glad, for such is the law of the mathematics of God. It compounds more and more unto the perfect day. Jesus said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. So we're in a greater day than Jesus. If you're dancing around a cross or wearing a medallion on your throat, you're living in an old age. You're living behind the cross. You're living on the wrong side of resurrection. Because when he has come in this mighty move today, it's greater than the days of Jesus. He said, these things shall you do, and greater, because I go to the Father. So the time will come when you shall speak to the Father directly. Not in my name, but directly. Some are knowing what that consciousness is. The Father sent his servants to the vineyard, to his own vineyard, to reclaim it from those that had been false husbandmen, and to kill the servants. And he sent the prophets, and they killed the prophets. And they sent his son, and they did with him what they would. But he said then he would come himself, and no man would be able to take his life from him. And it is indeed the truth today. God has come on the scene. In the fathership degree, God Almighty has come on the scene, and he's going to take the harvest. He's going to take his vineyard back from those false rascals, from those husbandmen that have spoiled the vineyard. God himself has come in the hundredfold. So you might as well quit trying to shoot him. The last time that they shot before your eyes didn't even bring the blood. The first time it's growing more and more, you see. The other time it brought the blood and left the hole. The last time it didn't leave a hole. Because no greater love hath any man than to lay down his life for his friends. So I put myself in the way of a bullet that would have killed others this week, as you saw. No man take my life from me. I took my life up, and I shall lay it down when it pleases me. But I shall say to you, you the lost tribes, the chosen of Israel, I say to you in the spirit of prophecy, you that have been called out from amongst the dead bones of Ezekiel's boneyard, you that are chosen, upon you of whom the ends of the world have come, I say unto you that my mind, my supernatural spirit, my supernatural voice will always be sitting on this chair. Heaven and earth will pass away. Bodies will come and go, but I shall remain eternally, faithfully, forever. I am God and God does not change. Stay around. You've been wanting to see me die. Stay around. For I shall always have a voice. You little puny source of the other fella. You that have not had your soul set on fire by God, but your soul set on fire by hell. It's good that you find your way out of this assembly. It's so true. I want you to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. If you'd know God, then you wouldn't be in all these troubles. If you'd know God, you'd prosper and be in good health, even as I am, in every sinew and fiber and cell and atom of my bodily form. If you know God, you have peace that passes all understanding. When you know God aright, not the God that's afar off. You listen to the righteousness that Paul said, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven and bring him down? For the sky and the heavens are nowhere. Who shall descend into the deep and the grave and bring him up from the dead? Because you can't bring him up from the dead. But Paul said, where is the word? He said, it's in thy mouth and in thy heart. And I've come to show you that I, being God, I shall make you God even as I am, saith the Lord. That's why they crucified Jesus. He said, for what good work do you stone me? Then he told the truth. He said, it is because I say ye are gods. Did you know that's written there, child, before you criticize? Did you know that's in your Bible? In spite of all the mistakes that are there, it said, ye are gods. I have come to claim my inheritance. I have considered it not robbery to be equal with God. And I'm enjoying resurrection. I'm enjoying compassion. I'm enjoying power. I'm enjoying blessings. Blessings and blessings. The multitude of blessings. Out as far as I can see on the mathematical field, I'm enjoying the countless blessings of the infinity of infinity. Some know their Redeemer, and they see God, and they reproduce God. He said to whoever would claim it, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you free yourself from racism, from the ownership of things, from the possessiveness of materiality, when you free yourself from the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, when you free yourself from capitalistic enslavement and jealousies, when you free yourself from mortality and all of its versions, when you are pure of all those things, then you will see God in San Francisco, California. You know God, and you see Him. And He'll walk with you, and He'll talk with you, and He'll tell you that you are His own. And the voice you hear will be the voice of socialist cheer, and He'll always be with you, and He'll never leave you. To those that know God aright, you won't have to sing to some sky that never opened up once to help you. You not have to hold on to a black book written by King James of England, who sent the first ship, the good ship Jesus, to bring back our brothers and sisters in chains. You not look to the letter that doesn't even know the ancestry of Jesus. Matthew disagrees with Luke. Matthew 1 and Luke 3, 23 disagree as to who Jesus' grandfather is. And they both tracing through Joseph, but both give him 15 different grandparents. And one has 15 more grandparents than the other, getting him back to Abraham. You don't know anything by the letter. You don't know where Jesus ascended. Two different mountains are mentioned, and one suggestion it was at the Last Supper. You don't know what happened to him on the cross. One says, one scripture, one Bible verse says that the thieves were which with him, railed on him. All the thieves cursed him. The other says only one And the other thief cursed and rebuked the other one. And Jesus said to the one good thief, this day you shall be with me in paradise. One scripture says that Jesus, after he was baptized with this union of God, when the combustion of God took place in him, you see, he had to be combusted into God. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was made obedient. If you're perfect, you don't have to be made obedient. He was made obedient and conformable to the image of the Son of God through the death. He was made conformable, made obedient through what? The death of the cross. He was made perfect, what? Through sufferings. That's why I said, though he was a slave, that's the beauty of Jesus. He said, though I was a servant, I considered it not robbery to be equal with God. That's why that same Jesus who came out of Nazareth, in which they said no good thing ever came out of Nazareth, they chided him and said, we know who our father is, Abraham, but who's your father? Teasing him about being born of a bastard. Born in a bastardly relationship. But it mattered not to him. He kept his mind and his ideas stayed on God's principles. Finally, when he made his ascension and overcame and stood up bravely for his ideas, laid his life down for his friends, they said on the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus that was once just the Nazarene, this same Jesus is now both Lord and Christ. He sits at the right hand of power because he was perfected through suffering. He learned obedience, and now he's the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Human as he was, carpenter's son, come out of Nazareth where there's no good thing. But he was a slave and he knew it, but he still considered it not robbery to be equal with God. He said, how do you know these things? How do I know the thoughts of these women's minds and heal both of them and their mother of cancer? How did I do that? How? Because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. That's what straightened the arm and made it move again. That's what caused that crippled woman's leg to be straightened a while ago. That's what caused it, because the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12, it discerns the thoughts and knows the intents of the heart. You read Hebrews 4:12 and you see that I am the Word. I am incarnating the Word. And the Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word is made flesh. The Word of God is here. It matters not only that I am sorry in my spirit for you that will not rejoice in this recognition. You cannot get enthralled by it because you just have not tasted of the heavenly gift. You would know that I'm hid with Christ in God. You would know that I'm made in his image. You would recognize the truth that has evolved and that I'm involved in the infinite, the wonderful, beautiful possibilities of infinite mind. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's just like the oak that makes the forest, but it's all involved in the acorn, the seed, the seed. The seed that formed in me has now become a mighty oak, and I'm reproducing acorns. And I'm going to have a forest, and we're going to have the trees of beauty that shall not be moved, like a tree that planted by the water. We shall overcome. I declare, I promise, I forswear in the Ark of the Covenant, we shall cover the earth with this great knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I declare unto you, we shall glorify the name of Jesus. The true followers of this, the body of God. I think I have said enough to stir up the pure minds. If you have a pure mind, I've stirred it up. If you have a disturbed mind, at least that's better than having a decided one. Let your disturbance continually concentrate on this effervescent flow. And see if this truth won't make you whole. Just try me and see if my spirit is not of God. What would you judge me by? Would you judge me by the dead letter? The dead letter that says after Jesus was touched by the dove, symbolizing his combustion into the consciousness of God's Son, in the sonship degree, when the Holy Ghost descended upon him, One scripture says he went 40 days into the wilderness and stayed there 40 days and 40 nights. King James has got it mixed up. In another place, he says 3 days after his baptism, he was in Cana of Galilee, which is some 80 miles from the wilderness, turning water into wine. So, well, he could have been supernaturally in two places at the same time. All right. But what about this? Did he keep the feast of the Passover with his parents in Jerusalem every year? That's what one writer says. Said he never went to Herod, to flee from Herod. Read your Bible. Said he never fled from Herod. Said he kept the feast of the Passover every year in Jerusalem. Another said he went to Jerusalem and never returned. He'd be alive then if he even came back supernaturally. Ah, child. It's all through the book. Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 22. Paul said the ones that were with him on the road to Damascus when he had that great conversion, which he had. But King James is the king of England. He doesn't know his right hand from the left. He said those that were with him in one case saw the shape but did not hear the voice. The other place it turns it just around and says the opposite. They heard the voice but did not see the shape. You don't tell me it's not so. Don't shake your head at me. You better read the book and see. That's what it says. You quote to me, there's three that bear record in heaven. John 5. Three that bear record in heaven. God never said it. Jesus never said it. Apostle Paul never said it. Pope Pius, one of the ugliest Roman popes of the Catholic Church, put it in there to support that ungodly doctrine of the Trinity. It was never there. Say, I never heard tell such. Well, you better go read Clark's commentary. You better read all your Pentecostal commentaries. You better read your Catholic commentary. All your concordances. Any good one will tell you that. That's not original scripture. Well, if they sneaked in one lie on you, how many more did they sneak in on you? That's why he said he'd speak for himself. That's why I said, how can you hear without him preaching? And how can he preach lest he comes? That's the way it originally said. You have it. How can he preach lest he's been sent? He said he'll preach for himself and he'll be sent from heaven. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the word of God, as I told you, is Hebrews 4:12. It discerns the thoughts and knows the intents of the hearts. Didn't say you could get your way to heaven by reading. You can't get to cross the street by reading in the Bible. You get lost before you get to Geary Avenue. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You say, I'm going up there to that church. Why do you want to go up there? He hasn't got the word of God. Can he call out the sick? Can he raise the dead? Can he prophesy? Can he discern the thoughts of the mind? Can he know the knowledge of what their ailments are? Can he tell them their loved ones back 100 years? Can he tell them what happened to them when they were born? Can he tell them what happened to them before they were born? Can he tell them what's going to take place in the years to come? No. So why don't you stay where the word of God is? Take your empty vessels and go after empty cisterns. That's what most of you are doing. And the well's flowing here with water. Out of my belly's flowing water is the issues of life. Iramanika, Nisha. I'm lifting you from economic and moral oppression. I'm putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Say, why you don't glorify Jesus? I glorify Jesus not by mouth. That won't help him. I'm going to live him. He said, become living epistles. Let the word be in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm causing people to talk about Jesus. They're talking about him everywhere. Saying, no, that man over there raised from the dead. Bring you all races together. My enemies are talking about me. My friends are talking about me. And they're trying to shoot me. The devil tried to shoot the devil? Not on your life. In the last days, they'll turn you over to the councils and the governors, put you in prisons, and even kill you, thinking they do God a service. They that live godly in Christ Jesus won't maybe, but shall suffer persecution. Do you know anybody else they're trying to shoot? Do you know anybody else that they've poisoned? They poisoned me and they poisoned some others, and I raised us all up, and they took the poison to General Hospital, Ukiah, and it said it was enough to kill a team of horses. But I didn't even get dizzy. I think I would do some thinking about it down there. I'd think about it real close. I'd wonder about it. Wonder what is this man? What is he? What is it that he can do these things? I'm the hundredfold realm of God, God personified. I am in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the oneness of Christ. I'm walking here, the body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And that's all foreign to you, and you get nervous. The sister's going to leave. She's upset about it. She's going to have a stroke too and never see her. What you talking about? I'm just putting into practice. I put into practice what you have been told about so long ago. Every day they tell you, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. I come along and tell you that I'm the body of God, and that bothers you, because when I become the body of God, it means you're going to have to become the body of God. You're going to have to listen to what God has to say. It's all right if we keep these things out here in the suppositional. Keep them out in the imaginary realms. But when somebody says exactly what temple means, that means you're the body of God. If you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, you're the body of God. The Holy Ghost is God's Spirit.